afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listening so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisper, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Pod Scaland.
Usually by the end of that intro, I am, I guess, it would be singing along, versing along, rapping along, whatever, I digress. Hey everyone, happy Monday, or happy whatever the hell day you're listening to this. I hope that your day is going well, that your week is going well, that your life is going well, honestly. You know, we all struggle with things, but at the end of the day, things are going to work out one way or the other, and you'll get through whatever it is that you're fighting or whatever it is that you're battling. And so just remember that. Take it not even one day at a time, but one moment at a time. Living in the present is a lot harder. I guess the better way to say that would be it's a lot easier said than done. Dylan, there's another way. My buddy Dylan just got a cliche dictionary book. So I'm wondering if that's in there. It tells you the origin and everything like that. I digress. And I'm trying to cut out the like us, ums. And yet here we are. But I do just want to say thank you. You know, I do look at the analytics every now and again just to see how many people are listening to the podcast. And while I know that it is only a handful of people and not a exceedingly large number, I've probably said it before, but I'll say it again, that even when I am doing speaking engagements, I have always said during that engagement, you know, I could be talking to there could be 100 people or 1,000 people in the audience. And as long as I can hit or make a difference with one person, then I've done my job. And that's how I feel with the podcast. I don't need 25,000 listens. Or 1,000 listens or 100 listens. Even if just one person was listening week after week, I would continue to do this podcast. Not only for that one person, but also for myself. And I think that we need to find your happy. You know, we've talked many times before on the podcast about finding your passion. And this is something I enjoy doing. You know, I've been thinking a lot about how I really need to start talking to guests again. Listening back to these conversations from the vault, it was very fun to talk to people and learn about people. Those were three very exhausting days. I was working three 12-hour days, essentially, recording these podcasts, and it was draining. And I actually said to myself, you know, I'll never do this again where I'm booking people back to back to back to back to back. But the reward afterwards totally exceeds that burnout in the moment. And you might be thinking, where is this week's episode going? And I would be right there with you. I have no idea. I do potentially want to get to the final interview from the vault. However, we'll see how long this first segment takes, because I have a couple of things from LinkedIn that I would yet again like to share. And these focus on leadership. And it's a little bit about what this guest had talked about, but I want to talk on these. We'll see where we're at on timing. I think that we'll be okay as long as I keep it under like 45 to 60 minutes. But again, you just roll with the punches sometimes. Make it up as I go. It's what I always do. So the first one I saw was posted by Molly McClure. She is a director of marketing at USAA. On LinkedIn, someone must have liked this because they're a third plus connection. Well, they're not a connection if I'm not connected with them. Anyway, here are the 10 Ted Lasso leadership lessons, as she writes. Number one, believe in yourself. Number two, doing the right thing is never the wrong thing. Number three, all people are different people. Number four, see good in others. Five, and then six, forgive first. Tell the truth. Winning is an attitude is number seven. At eight, we have optimists do more. Nine, I think, is a huge one, which is stay teachable. And 10, happiness is a choice. And I think that even already circles back to the beginning of the podcast, talking about everyone's going to have their days. Again, easier said than done to not be in a certain state and a certain mental health aspect. However, you can always choose, even if it's just trying, to be happy. Yeah, we're definitely going to get to the guest. Not related to that, but I'm just looking at the time. The other one I wanted to share, which I saw about a month later, actually almost a month to the day, was Nathan Diepenbrock. Again, another third plus connection, networking thing. I don't know. Nathan Diepenbrock on LinkedIn had said, you know, a lot of people, and a lot of people have posted Ted Lasso leadership lessons. And he said, so I started watching the show, but realized that he connected less with Ted's leadership style and more with Roy Kent's. So he said, as a tribute to Roy, here are Roy Kent's top 10 leadership lessons. Now, as you know, in this first one, there would typically be a colorful word, and he chose not to use that on LinkedIn, which is a great move on his part. But he did say, be here, be there, be everywhere for your team. Coming in at number two, yelling, oi! Not only gets people his attention in real life, but also works on Zoom. Number three, don't settle for fine. And number four, we have stick up for people who can't stick up for themselves. Halfway through the list now, don't discourage anyone's anger, but instead appreciate how much they care. Starting that second half of the list at number six, know when to step aside and let others step forward. And number seven, say the true thing out loud with courage. Sorry, say the true thing out loud and with courage. Number eight, set aside time to do yoga with old ladies or whatever brings you peace. And number nine, always align your work with your passion. I feel that one. And lastly, F-bombs are an underrated motivational tool. Kind of came full circle on his list there. So I just wanted to share those. I thought that those were kind of fun and interesting, all in the same regard. I really don't have much more to say off the top of my head. So let's just bounce us into the podcast this week. This week, I talked to a guy who is a life coach. You know, I'll let him explain. He is all over the board. But I hope that you enjoy the conversation I had with Ryan. Please subscribe, rate, review the podcast. I always have to work that in somewhere, whether it's even if I forget about it and just work it in the end of this intro. Please subscribe, rate, review the podcast. Please share it. Let your friends know about it. I have nothing else to say. I'll talk to you next week. No idea what next week's going to look like because we have run the vault dry after this. So I hope that you're excited for next week to see what's in store because I am also wondering what's in store too. All right, Trent, shut up. Let's do this thing. This week, I am talking to another guest. See, and I always say another week on the Trent Speaks podcast. I'm trying to switch up how I say it, and I need to find a good groove. Irregardless, Ryan, welcome into the podcast this week.
Yeah, Trent, so good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Ryan, so sometimes it's just easy for me. We have a lot to unpack from what I saw in your bio and everything. So sometimes it's just easiest to start with a nice broad question to kind of let you choose the direction you want to go. What's your story? How have you gotten yourself to where you are today?
Sure. Thanks, man. Yeah, so I am currently a life coach, a life and self-leadership coach, author, kind of a serial entrepreneur. I think when it goes to the question of how I've gotten to be where I am today, it has been obviously a lifelong journey, but I've always been a bit of an entrepreneur. I'm a bit of a creative person in the sense that I truly believe that entrepreneurialism is a form of art. Like, you know, it's different from music or painting or photography or whatever, but it is taking nothing. It is taking just an idea and kind of creating something out of nothing that you want to show to the world, which is also at that point kind of open for judgment. So I love it. I love creating businesses. I've created a number of ones where I've always been a part of either a startup or just kind of been starting my own thing. And so a lot of that has been as a younger entrepreneur led me just to kind of understanding that, you know, an entrepreneur or an artist isn't necessarily an easy place to be. Like you're kind of starting with nothing and creating the whole time. And so through my entrepreneurial journey, there was a lot of personal development that was necessary. I did need to kind of learn persistence and perseverance and intention, self-confidence, all these different things that can serve anyone who's creating in a public format. So through that, I ended up becoming I'll dial it back to 2008. 2008, I had a business which was a artist management business. So I managed a bunch of bands.
And oh, awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. I love live music. I'm a huge fan of live music. I've seen tons and tons of music. I love working with creative people. What I loved most about being a manager of a band was the empowerment, was the connecting with musicians. It's funny, we talk about, I mentioned that people don't always realize that entrepreneurs are artists. A lot of people don't realize that musicians are entrepreneurs, right? They are creating something that they want to sell to the masses for an income as well. And a lot of the time, musicians themselves don't realize that. They just consider themselves artists, which they are, of course, but also, so to be able to come in as a manager and let them know what the business opportunities were and to let them be empowered to set higher goals and to support them and to encourage them and to empower them to be the best versions of themselves. Like, that's the stuff I love the most. There were certainly aspects of management that I didn't love, but I really recognized that this is where my strengths were. And so in October of 2008, like three times in the same conversation, three different conversations in the same month, the term coaching came up. And I just felt like, you know, A, this is a sign of some sort. This is a reflection. This is an answer from life. And B, it just feels like who I am, that's what I want to be doing anyway. So in 2009, I became a certified professional coach. And I kept my clientele in the sense that I still worked with musicians. I just got rid of a lot of the aspects of management that I didn't like and enhanced the aspects of it that I did. And also learned a lot about myself along the way. And that was about 10 years ago. And so in the past 10 years, I've coached hundreds of people. I worked for a long time, majority of musicians, but I also was an internal coach for IPEC, the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, which is where I got my certification. So I was their first internal coach. So I coached their staff. And I've gone on to coach doctors and authors and all sorts of different people. So I truly love working with and inspiring and empowering people to be the best versions of themselves, no matter where they're coming from. That's kind of the middle, short, long version.
So you had talked about how you were still kind of working with the same clientele and everything just without that management piece. So what did that look like in terms of the coaching aspect? So what was your role at that point after you kind of gave up some of that management piece?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A lot of the time, musicians would come to me wanting that very left brain stuff. Like, hey, like I want to get more gigs. I want to get a larger social media following. I want to get an album made. Like just very tasks, you know, task oriented, project oriented questions and suggestions and help, and looking for help in that space. But really by the end of our first session, it was always more about who they are internally. What's their internal dialogue? What are they telling themselves every day? What are their beliefs? What are their values? How are they stepping into the greatness? Are they stepping into the greatness? Are they judging themselves on a regular basis? Do they actually believe that they can make it? And so really my job is to help people get clarity on who they want to be and how they want to show up in everything that they do. So a lot of people time people say, well, I guess your product is coaching. And so the truth is my product isn't coaching. That's what I do. But my product, what people walk away with, is clarity. It's efficiency. It's accountability. It's forward momentum. It's joy. It's freedom. It's self-awareness. It's all things that really we typically have within. And that's the other point to it. I don't really give it to them as much as I just shine a light on it. That's within them. And I help them clear away kind of the cobwebs that are hiding it from within and help them to kind of take action to bring it out more often.
So how does one get started in terms of being a life coach? Like how did, so you had mentioned, you know, that the term coach had come up a few times in conversations and you're like, all right, I'm going for this. This is a sign. How did you know kind of where to go from there and what to expect?
I did a little bit of research. So, I mean, certainly anybody out there, I mean, there's no laws, there's no licenses. Anyone could technically call themselves a coach right now. You can just say, hey, listen, I've had a lot of good experience, a lot of life experience. I like people. I like helping people and I want to coach people. And so I'm going to call myself a coach. And some people do that. I can't speak to all of them. Obviously, some of them are fine coaches or even great coaches, I'm sure. But a lot of them aren't. What they're doing actually isn't even coaching. What they're doing typically is mentoring or, consulting, like coming in and telling people what to do. Coaching is not that. Coaching is really recognizing that the clients have the answers within and helping them recognize blocks and fears and limiting beliefs that are keeping them from seeing those answers. So I'd recommend anybody who's interested in becoming a coach, first thing you want to do, I say definitely get certified, definitely go to a training program. I definitely recommend going to what's called an ACTP or an accredited coach training program through the ICF. And the ICF is the International Coaching Federation. You can go to coachfederation.org. They have a whole list of ACTPs out there. Again, I went to IPEC, the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. I certainly would recommend it. It's, you know, depending on who you ask, it's the best program in the world. So, but wherever you go, I recommend anyone to go to an accredited coach training program. Get your certification because it is a skill set. It is something that you can learn, that you can practice, and that you can become better at. And you can, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So it's great if you've had a great life experience and you're good at giving people advice, but to go in and get a certification and to surround yourself with like-minded individuals and to learn from people who have been doing this and have set up a specific program that is recognized by a governing body, I think makes sense to me.
Well, and then I was reading, I went to one of the links you had sent me, the setlisttees.com. And yeah. Was that back in 2012 that you had started that? Because what I saw on there, I was actually really impressed. I really, what a great idea. Like, where did that idea come from? And maybe tell people who have no idea what I'm talking about right now, what setlisttees.com is.
Yeah, I love it. And thank you for that. So setlisttees, it's basically, so again, I mentioned earlier that I'm a huge fan of live music, particularly the band Phish. I've seen them over 100 times and all sorts of other live music, but you know, they're certainly, I'm certainly a Phish nerd at heart. And so Setlist Tees, it is a t-shirt company. So if you have a favorite band, especially one that you've seen numerous times, the front of the t-shirt has the date from your favorite concert and maybe a piece of art that features something that had to do with that day, maybe that venue, that the city that the concert was in. And then on the back of the shirt, it has a set list from whatever they played that night. And so it's kind of a memorial, it's kind of a like a memory. It's something that you can carry around. It's like a living ticket stub that you can wear wherever you go. And so obviously as the owner of the company, I've got about 40 or 50 of them, but I love wearing them. They're great conversation starters. And if you are a fan of a particular band, you know, it's a great way to make friends who are also fans of that band, because they'll just, you know, if you're standing in line in a grocery store or something like that, and they see, you know, songs from their favorite band on the back of your shirt, they're going to be like, hey, what's that all about? Or they'll just see the date on the front of your shirt and like, what's with the date? I'm like, oh, this is my first time I saw Phish or whatever it is. So it's a great conversation starter. And, you know, sometimes people meet their wife or their husband at a concert. And so they want shirts from that. Sometimes a bunch of buddies from college all went to a show together. And so they all want to get that. So it's a great way to kind of bring back memories of a specific special evening in a fan of live music experience.
So where did the idea come from to even start such a thing?
You know, I don't remember a specific aha moment as much as I think I do remember just think that would be cool. It'd be something that I thought that everybody would like. I knew that I would wanted to have it. I knew that I wanted to celebrate different shows. I certainly believe that t-shirt watching is a sport, right? So, I mean, if you go and you read certain ones, especially at a concert, when you go around, people like to wear different types of things for you to read and kind of engage with, even from a social basis. Like sometimes they're fun, sometimes they're punny, whatever it is. And so I just felt like this was something that people would be attracted to, but also something that people would want to keep as kind of a part of their life experience.
You know, earlier at the top of the podcast, you had mentioned how you've learned a lot about yourself along the way. What is it that you've learned about yourself?
I have learned that I would say mostly that every day is an opportunity for you to decide who you want to be. In fact, every moment is an opportunity for you to decide who you want to be. And once we realize that and we can start stepping into that, and every day is a new day to begin. If we're not satisfied where we are, nobody's going to come and save us. That's something to really just, I think, and I say that with love, like, you know, for those of us who think one day that, you know, someone's going to come and swoop us in and change everything, that's not necessarily going to be the case. So knowing that, once we believe that and understand that, there's an opportunity for us to be that person and to step into who we want to be every single day and to create the life that we want to live and be excited to do that so that others can see and be inspired to do the same. So that's one thing I've learned about myself. I've learned that I love being a father. I'm the second oldest of 10, so I've always just kind of raised...
Oh, my goodness.
I always had younger kids around me growing up. I used to own a daycare center at one point with my father. I would say next to, you know, parenthood is my favorite thing. Coaching is my second favorite thing in life. I think both of those places are and even entrepreneurship, are places where I'm constantly teaching and learning at the same time, right? So there's always an opportunity to see what is being said and listen to what is being felt. And I think as we teach, we also learn at the same time. And parenthood really does that big for me.
So did you always know that you wanted to be an entrepreneur, or was there some sort of event or just kind of realization of like, you know, I think this is for me? Or did that kind of tie in with the coaching stuff?
You know, it was a combination of things. So my father was an entrepreneur as I grew up. I do remember at a very early age wanting to like build dog houses. Like I do remember wanting to almost like, and this is at like 4 or 5 years old, like wanting to like go to the ground in the neighborhood and seeing who needed a dog house. And I was going to draw them and have them built. I wasn't didn't really get it done very well at the time because I was 4 or 5, but I do like kind of my first entrepreneurial idea. Like I do believe that's what it was. Seeing my dad kind of always build different businesses. He owned a house building company, a home building company. He had a restaurant. And so good seeing that that was something to be done is a little bit in my DNA. I think my first true entrepreneurship came around 18, 19 years old, where I joined a direct sales multi-level marketing company that sold environmentally safe products. And through that, I read a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And that was really just the catalyst, the understanding of you can create whatever you want and then you can build business and then to not have to rely on somebody else all the time gives you some freedom and some control over who you want to be and how much money you want to make and what you can do with your life. So on and off, you know, since that point, I've always had something going on in the background. Like my hobbies are always typically building some sort of a business. Some have been successful, some have not. I was right around the time MySpace came out. I created a page called RySpace, which was only for Ryans. And I had a bunch of t-shirts that went out. And it just, you know, it said Rye Space, a place for Ryan's or something like that. So, you know, some of them hadn't been the best ideas in the world, but they were fun. And that's really what it's all about. In the grand scheme of things, I'd rather spend my time thinking of things that I can build and make to serve others and also make some money as opposed to maybe binge watching, you know, something on Netflix for 3 days. For me, my time is best spent creating and enjoying the process of creation as well.
Well, and I imagine some of it's trial and error too, because RySpace could have taken off, but a lot of times you don't know until you try it and see what happens.
Well, and that's a great point, Trent. And really, that's what it comes down to. And I think that's with everything. So the reason why people don't do things more often than not is because of fear. Fear of what others will think, fear that it won't work, fear that they're going to lose out. But really, that just keeps us small and that keeps us where we are. And more often than not, fear is a liar. And with all, you know, with everything, had I not done RySpace and those t-shirts, maybe I might not have done Setless Tees, which is successful. You know what I mean? And so there's an aspect of stepping into whatever is coming up for you. I mean, typically it's coming from somewhere. So to choose to take action on it and see what the results are, I think you'll find life to be more fulfilling than to not. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, when I'm 90, 100 years old, I'd rather look back and say, hey, I tried about 80 different things. 30 of them worked, as opposed to just saying that I did nothing. You know what I mean? I just kind of stood around and wondered what it would be like.
Right. And I have heard that before, you know, like deathbed stories and everything, where people say that there are things that they wish they would have done or that they wanted to do, they just didn't do, but they wish they would have. And so I think that's a great mindset to go in with of like, I want to be able to look back and say, I did try these things, successful or not, at least I tried them and I did what I wanted to do.
To say the least. And to be honest with you, once you decide what you want to do and who you want to be, and you start taking action towards that every day, that doesn't have to be, that's what it is forever. It's like, step into it, see how the path unfolds, see how, who that path introduces you to, which may, you know, bring up another idea or send you in a different trajectory that you hadn't even considered. But had you not started taking action and steps towards who you want to be, sometimes you won't discover who you will become.
Well, and then fast forward, so you became a life coach in 2009. Fast forward 10 years, you released a book called Be Patient, Be Present, Be Joyful, a first aid kit for the emotional bumps, scrapes, and bruises of life. What brought the idea of creating this book and releasing it?
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. So in the grand scheme of things, again, I'd love to create. So this was just another product, something that I could come up with that I could serve the masses with in some capacity. I had, as a coach, seen some common themes come up with my clients, not only with my clients, with myself, with my friends, with just people in general. There's some basic concepts that people can kind of step into and think about and utilize that they're just not. And, you know, to dial it back a little bit, as a person who's into personal development and self-growth, and has been for a number of years, there's some amazing books out there that will change your life. I am not much of a reader. I have challenge reading in the sense that I'll get 30 pages in and then I am reading the same page over and over again and just my brain drifts and I just have a challenge enjoying the reading process. And so, you know, I do great with Audible. So I listen to a lot of great books. But knowing all this, I wanted a book that, hey, listen, if I'm having a tough day, I don't want to have to seek out a 300-page book and read through the whole thing. You know, spending 100 pages telling me what you're going to tell me, 100 pages telling me what you're telling me, and 100 pages telling me what you told me, right? I want something that if I'm feeling stressed, I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling overwhelmed, that I can pick up and I can just read in 25, 35 minutes and have a grasp of who I want to be in the moment and how I can change my life and with some action items that I can immediately take away. And then B, even if I, once I read it, I just also want something that I could just pick up and just read in a moment, like just grab and find a page. Like, you know, so it's kind of a handbook in that sense. That's why it's called a first aid kit. For the emotional bumps, scrapes, and bruises of life.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so you literally can pick it up at any point. I mean, ideally, you'll read through it once and take away these concepts. But then afterwards, at any point, I have a lot of people who come up to me or, you know, who write me or email me and say, listen, what I love most about this is I just keep it by my bedside. At the end of the day, I'll just open it. It was physically literally designed. So there's something that stands out, pops out on every page that could serve you, whether it be a quote from somebody else, whether it be a quote from me, whether it be a highlighted sentence as part of a deeper paragraph. But there's something on every single page where you can just open it up and be like, okay, maybe this is what I'm supposed to hear in this moment.
So, Go ahead.
No, so I was just going to say, so that was really the catalyst. So I just said, okay, like here's some concepts of patience, of presence, of joy. And actually the prologue really, so there's only five chapters. The first chapter is a prologue. Then there's chapter one is be patient. Chapter two is be present. Chapter three is be joyful. And then the epilogue, there's an epilogue as well. The prologue really just talks a lot about the concept of you and I and all of us being creators in everything that we do. At every single moment we are creating. And just to even realize that concept, a lot of people don't necessarily make time to think about that. But right now you and I are creating two men recording a podcast, right? If you wake up in the morning and you decide to put on blue socks, blue pants, blue shirt, and a blue hat, you are creating a man dressed in blue. If you go to the kitchen and throw on some mayo and some bacon, some lettuce and tomato on some bread, you're creating a sandwich. I know it sounds silly and obvious, but when we're writing down, you write down a couple words on a piece of paper with a period at the end, you create a sentence. But we also create conversation. We create laughter. We create art. We create music. We create businesses. But we also create anger and we create stress and we create anxiety. Even when you go to sleep, you are creating a person who is sleeping. So in any given moment, we are creating something. And so prologue just talks a little bit about that to get you ready for the rest of the book. And that's the first step in the first aid is really understanding that you have the power to create and you are creating whether you know it or not. Chapter one then goes into be patient. So if you're stressed and you're overwhelmed, a lot of the time it's probably because you want something to be different right now. And or you're just tired of waiting. And so you're impatient. So what would it be like to create a patient person? How does a patient person feel? How does a patient person behave? What does patients feel like? And when you start asking yourself these questions from a detached perspective, and you decide to create patients for the sake of creating patients, you become more in control of the moment and decide who you want to be. And by doing that, you can be more on purpose. And without talking for an hour, right? So then chapter two is creating presence. Chapter three is creating joy. And then the epilogue is just keep going, right? So we understand life is overwhelming and can be stressful at times, but there's never been a day that hasn't, you know, ended after 24 hours. So keep going. You know, on your best days, on your worst days, keep going. Decide who you want to be. Take action on that every single day. Sometimes that might be somebody who's resting, somebody who's taking some time off, and that's okay too. Just do it with intention and with purpose, and realize that you are creating your life's path as opposed to feeling that you're at the effect of life.
Well, when I accidentally interrupted you, you actually ended up going on to answer what I was going to ask you anyway, because I was going to ask you about a nice Spark Notes version of what readers can expect, and you've answered that for me already.
There we go. I felt it.
So was there any certain aspect or moment that really inspired you to write this book, or was it really just a culmination of a lot of different things?
It was a culmination of a lot of different things. I was, like I said, a lot of it had to do with just working with my clients and really, to be honest with you, my own personal journey. So while I've been coaching for over 10 years, I would say really just in the past 4 years, since 2016 is my life, has been some of the most growth I've done in my entire life. So part of that came right around then. I started thinking about some of these concepts and being more intent and powerful around really choosing the life that I want to live in every aspect of my life, like not just being a coach and not just being positive and not just being an entrepreneur, but what kind of a human being do I want to be? How do I want to feel every day? I had been working with a number of different people, and so a lot of those relationships through in-depth conversation and challenges and empowerment is kind of where the book came from.
So a couple of Trent Speaks related questions for you.
Yeah.
What has been the most impactful moment or event that has either shaped who you are today or has gotten you to where you are today?
That's a great question. I don't know if there was just one. I did have, something that I don't really speak about, and I won't go into the details, but I did have a pretty traumatic experience that happened towards the end of 2015, which definitely was just something to make me more aware of choices I was making and who I was becoming and who I really wanted to be in the grand scheme of things. So, well, that's not a great detailed answer. It's certainly a truth. I would say also, again, being a second oldest of 10 and having siblings to kind of guide and to empower and to be there for in some capacity, that was probably a big part of it. As obnoxious as it sounds, Trent, I believe every single moment helps us. We are all exactly who we should be for every single second of life that we've led. And so they're literally every single, to answer your question obnoxiously, literally every single day is probably a moment that has served me to be more of who I am today. That there's probably so many moments in social situations or whatever that I don't necessarily remember. Certain relationships that have impacted me in great ways. I think life is for living. And if we start to celebrate it as a gift, it really creates who we are and is a big part of that as well.
What is it
that paint with such a broad brush? But that was my.
No, that's all right. That's all right. Everyone's going to have their own answer, so there is no right or wrong answer there.
That's the truth.
So, what is it that you want people to learn from this podcast? So, when they listen back to it and everything, what do you want people to take away from you and your journey?
Yeah, I would say here would be my current message. My current message is there's three or four things for you to do. First of all, today, after you get done listening to this podcast, make time. Like literally, this is not something to do later. This is my suggestion. Take it or leave it. But I would say today, make time to write down exactly who you want to be. Not think about it, but write it down. Who do I want to be in business? Who do I, what type of a job do I want to have? What type of a parent do I want to be? What type of spouse do I want to be? What type of partner do I want to be? What type of human being do I want to be? What do I want my life to look like and feel like, let's say a year from now, in a perfect scenario? Write it down in great detail, because a lot of the time people think about it, but they haven't actually written it down. And to go back to the concepts of creation, even by literally putting it down on paper, you are creating it in a blueprint in some capacity. So A, write it down. B, make time to look at it and read through it and believe that it's possible. And imagine yourself with all of these things, exactly how you want your life to be. And actually, in that moment, create gratitude for that outcome. C, wake up tomorrow and read that aloud. Stand in front of a mirror, stand in front of a vision board, or stand in front of nature, or stand someplace where you are comfortable and read it aloud. People can say that's a little bit weird and awkward, but you know what? If it changed your entire life and gave you exactly what was on that paper, I feel like it would be worth it. And that has been my experience so far, so I would certainly recommend it. Read aloud when you start your day, read aloud when you end your day, because as you're doing this, you are reminding your subconscious every single day, right before you go to bed, and as you start your day, exactly who you want to be. And by creating gratitude for that outcome as well, you're creating an elevated emotion, which will then kind of attach to that thought. And depending on your understanding of quantum physics and my limited understanding of quantum physics, by attaching a limited, an elevated emotion to that thought, we really bring it more into our reality. So I didn't mean to get too deep there, but just read it out loud. And then thirdly, take action on it, even if it's for 5 minutes every day to start, right? And every day, look at something on that list and do something about it. And I think as we start to do that, the more things will start to unfold, more opportunities will open up to, and you start to understand that this is real and that you do have the ability to be exactly who you want to be. It may not happen in a day, a week, a month, a year, or 2 years, 5 years, but in the grand scheme of things, exactly who you wanted to be took 10 years to do, it still would be worth it. And you'd probably enjoy the heck out of the journey because you're creating the perfect life for you. And then lastly, as you're doing all this, be the light that you want to see in the world. Right? So it's, you're not just doing this for you. You're doing this for life. You're doing this for others. You're doing this for those who you surround yourself with. You're doing this to have an impact on others so they would see that it's possible to be who they want to be. And it's possible for them to be the light they want to see in the world. So shine and live with love and intention and purpose. And you can't go wrong.
Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast and speak to me and my guests. To my listeners. Yeah. Thanks for being my guest today.
Trent, it's really, really my pleasure. I appreciate your time. I really am blessed to be here. And I look forward to checking out more episodes.
Yeah, of course. Ryan, so my favorite part here at the end is when people don't know what's coming. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I'm going to turn it over to you, actually, and you get to do your own sign-off, whatever you want it to be, but you can sign us off with the podcast.
I love it. Hey, listen, everybody, thank you again for making time to listen to Trent and I speak. I hope that you enjoyed our conversation and you got some nuggets of wisdom about your life out of this conversation and who you want to be. And I genuinely hope that you take action to be more who you want to be, because this is your one life and this life is a gift and you deserve it. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about me, feel free to check out ryanstanley.com. You can buy my book there, obviously. You can also check it out on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Again, it's be patient, be present, be joyful. In the grand scheme of things, you are here for a purpose and you get to decide what that is. So thank you for being you, and I hope to cross paths one day in person.